Welcome back to our conversation about communication apprehension, fear, and self-help. We have been able, throughout the past few episodes, to look at three specific artifacts of communication apprehension self-help. We looked at Jerry Gennard's Fearless Speaking, Tamara Chandler's Feedback, and Max Isaacson's Coronary Threats. These three artifacts allowed us to gain insight into what the overall conversation of communication apprehension and self-help looks like in our culture. For the last time, I will be walking us through conversations around self-help and communication apprehension. I love learning about this conversation, and I hope that some of that energy has bled onto your understanding of this concept as well. I really enjoyed going through this with you. And finally, I'm excited to wrap this up with our final chapter. Now, I would like to go through and analyze what repeated themes or ideologies can I assess throughout these three artifacts. Then I will expand upon these ideologies and look at implications of the overall discourse and the importation of these ideologies onto our cultural norms, as well as highlighting the intersections between my study and self-help as a discourse. Within this project, I introduced you to self-help as a discourse. I also tried to explain the cross-sections of self-help's discourse and communication apprehension. Then I went through and I analyzed with you three self-help books focused around communication apprehension topics. When I went through and analyzed with these with you, I was able to identify a few main themes and some ideologies that were present within the front matter of these texts. There were two main themes that I was able to identify throughout all three texts. First, the dichotomy of process versus event, and second, the use of fear as persuasion. Finally, I want to illuminate the conversation around blind spots within these artifacts. More precisely, conversations of power and ability. Process versus event is thematically identifiable within all three texts. First, I want to explain process versus event. There is a very large discourse within academia around the conversations of how we remember and access knowledge. Elaborating upon that, this discourse highlights currently and historically, consumers do not identify with process conversations. We remember events more clearly, and we expect most things to happen through events, even though we have bodies of research that explain that this is a skewed memory and not a functional way to frame progress. Within all three books, they have moments where they speak around the need for steps, and two of my three artifacts talk specifically about event framing. An example of this event framing in Coronary Threats is their conversation around ableism. They allude to event mentality when making statements like fear is equal to unwillingness to try, and when they do not converse around slow process of growth. Feedback explains explicitly that they take a process view of this perceived problem. They explain in the intro that this is something that continuously needs to be worked on. Arguably, they reference event culture when they speak towards the implementation of your changed mentalities, due to them referencing how your group or team
might respond to your shift in organizational norms. And finally, fairly speaking, actively alludes to the event argument throughout its advertising, with its word choice, such as conquer, with its allusion towards superheroes and power in the front cover. However, in the functionality of how fearless speaking is set up, it alludes to a process mentality. There is a direct clashing within fearless speaking of implementing process, but advertising it as an event. While fearless speaking has conflicting views about process and event, feedback has a concurrent view of process and event, explicitly talking about the process while explaining that there will be event moments, such as the implementation of the new process. And finally, to go back up to coronary threats, they only explicitly talk about it as an event. With their choice of absolutism, they only talked about it as an event. With their choice of confrontation and action, they do not give room for planning. They only say, moment to go. With their use of fear and humor, there is not a growth from fear to humor. They are using them juxtaposingly to show that fear is not something to be taken seriously and to alleviate some of that arguments. And then finally, with their use of ethos and their reference to other people's processes, while not explicitly explaining their process and presenting them as a completion narrative, creating the event conversation. All three of these texts use process versus event mentalities within their conversations and evaluate the implications of said framings. Next, I want to talk about how fear is prevalent throughout each text and how each text chooses to mitigate or validate said emotions. First, coronary threats. They use fear conversations and reference to fear in their confrontation and action theme. Specifically, within the confrontation portion, they do not give caveats nor conversation around why you should do the action, but only explain the detriments of not doing the action. Next, we can see the fear theme in coronary threats explicitly with their fear and humor use. Coronary threats continuously uses humor to diffuse tensions around the fear. In this diffusion of fear, this artifact prioritizes individuals who are able to laugh off something as culturally necessary as communication. Coronary threats explicitly uses fear and then chooses not to identify the complexities of that fear. Coronary threats explicitly references the bodily harm and implications of fear. However, they immediately diffuse it with humor framings. Next, in feedback, fear is forefronted within the fear and dread conversations they present in the front matter of the text, explicitly in how they frame the subject of the cover and how they discuss the aversion towards feedback within the organizational setting. They express how fear as a manager, and they allude to fear as a subordinate. Fear is also a large theme within the conversation of censorship and power within feedback. When censorship is endorsed, conversations of autonomy and ways of motivating and explicitly identifying with power and that autonomy are brought into question. Feedback may not reference fear in the same way as our other texts. However, fear is an underlining ideology within their conversation of censorship as well as dread and confrontation within the office culture. Finally, fearless speaking uses fear in not only its title, but also within the symbolism and the cultural references, and throughout the front cover, the choice in style, using superheroes and villainy, as well as absolutism in our themes, we can expand those to also bolster my argument of fear. Villainy and superheroes come with a cultural normative understanding that there is a bad guy, that we should be averse to that bad guy or that bad entity, and we need / only will succeed with interventions caused by population's fear or dissatisfaction. Fear is also alluded to in the absolutes. When they use their absolutes to reference the skill being completed. Example, beat your anxiety. Beat is the absolute in reference to your fear. Build your confidence. Build is the absolute in reference to the fear, the confidence. This book will help you permanently overcome the fears. Explicit conversations around fear as an absolute.
Within this project, hidden ideologies from not only the rhetors have become apparent. I have developed a better understanding of how to evaluate my situation as well as my place within the classroom and within others' anxiety and fear. A continuous discourse throughout all of the episodes I have brought to you helps illuminate hidden ideologies around attitudes, values, assumptions, beliefs, opinions, and norms. Within this project, I have attempted to illuminate some of these processes as well as implications through these processes. This project has not only allowed me to become a better facilitator of interventions, but also a more critical eye when evaluating others' ideologies and the implications thereof, as well as helped me develop a vocabulary to address interventions and address ideologies that individuals may not have overtly understood that they were recasting into the world by their choices and actions.
Within this final chapter, I was able to break down the reoccurrence of the theme process versus event, as well as fear as persuasion. I also highlighted some blind spots this conversation could benefit from addressing, such as ability and consideration to systematic power. Within this project, I was able to explain and situate us within conversations of what self-help looks like in American culture. Then I was able to guide us towards the subgenre of communication apprehension within self-help to start identifying main themes that this conversation has addressed. After looking at three prototypical self-help books, Fearless Speaking by Jerry Gennard, Feedback and Other Dirty Words by Tamara Chandler, and The Fear of Public Speaking and Other Coronary Threats by Max Isaacson, to create a snapshot of how communication apprehension literature has not only changed within the last 40 years, but also what ideas have stayed the same, even though culture around them has changed. This project was an opportunity for us to dive into the ideologies that might be hidden or overt within literature that we consume culturally. Finally, I want to thank you for going and traveling along this journey with me. This has been an invigorating moment for not only myself, but hopefully for you as well. I leave you with a final thought. What choices do you make day to day that telecast your ideologies to observers?